Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay! Welcome to FMLFPL Milan.
This one's...
So this was the week that I remembered that we always tend to seesaw our points. One of us goes up, the other one goes down. This week I'm absolutely flying, so...
Yeah, how'd you go?
I know how you're doing.
Let everyone know. I'm doing great.
I'm on 79 points. A lot of fucking points. 417K game week rank, up 500K. I'm still 2 million overall, so that's bad. But huge green. Basically everyone got me points. You know, Cap Sun came in for us and all the pod boys, and Sokka I brought in, got me a goal. Just points all over the place. Kane and Sun finally paying back my minus 12.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Jack got a return first time in a few months.
Jack and Bruno is coming away with 10 and 7 in that match. It's just so huge.
Yeah, Bruno.
Felt huge.
Got away with one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Good job by you.
Yeah, great job. Yeah, just a huge, huge week. Sue Fall on my bench was 6 and didn't even need him.
Didn't need him.
Yeah.
Didn't need him. Got fucked.
And then the U story is just no Pope and
didn't
Cho.
Didn't need him. Didn't need him.
And Cho.
Cho. Didn't need him. Yeah, it's all good.
Someone
53.
Someone asked if Cho has been added to the list, and it was just like, obviously. I wrote back obviously in all caps. The people to kill list, the Billy Madison list. It's just
You know, I think Rodri's more on the list than Cho. I don't really have anything against Cho. He's just a little child baby trying to do his best.
Yeah,
I don't have anything against him at all.
Yeah.
It's more Rodri's getting all not on the list. Not Benson's.
Oh, not on the list.
No. Not yet.
Cost you a lot of points.
You forget the triple defense. I triple defense every year. This was nothing. This was nothing.
I was thinking back to, it was only like 2 pods ago, maybe 3 pods ago, you were saying how fun it is to have 5-4-5s on different teams. It's so fun. It's so chill. And then you go from that directly to the most stressful possible thing of just tripling up on a team.
Yeah.
It's just small things.
No, I mean, emotionally, you feel things.
Yeah.
You feel things. Yeah. Everything's louder and the volume's turned up and the feelings are more feelsies. But it's still... So, I mean, I have Cancelo, Diaz, and Stones. Over the last 2 weeks, I migrated into this. And it's obviously didn't work this week, but it's just backing what we've been talking about for about 2 months about City just being a different team, easily best defense in the league.
Easily.
So... It still feels like a good place to put a few eggs in a basket because they look good and the price isn't exorbitant. You know, I still have a really good attack, so hopefully it comes in. But didn't work this week. You know, the worst triple ups were the Chelsea ones when we have like Moses getting cards, Bodker getting off at 60, and like Marcos A not playing.
That's
because that's my life. Or the Wolves triple up when they, I think I was on them for 2 months,
like Bennett,
and they didn't keep one clean.
Bennett
goalie
and
the goalie and Rui.
Oh yeah, and Rui.
They didn't get a clean for like 2 months or something.
Yeah, that was worse. Fair enough.
I'm used to this, but it was a shock to the system because.
You could hear a pin drop over our Discord call.
It's tough. It was tough. The toughest thing is they kicked the ball off after the goal, full-time whistle blown immediately.
Oh, it is the last kick of the game.
Yeah. So, you know, you it's hard to take those. But you trust a Prowshash. And City were obviously in control of the game. Clean obviously was warranted on balance of the play.
Yeah.
And they'll get more clean. So
that's what I texted you basically. It's like it's a blow, but at the same time, away Chelsea's top four hardest fixture to clean for them.
Don't agree.
Who's ahead? I mean, obviously Liverpool and then United.
I mean, honestly, I feel like fixtures, the way that Frank's been playing, I feel like fixtures like even like Southampton or Villa are maybe tougher because Chelsea just, they've been parking.
Okay, so top five, you know.
No, I mean, it's not a good fixture, but it doesn't matter. Like, that's just like trying to cheer me up. It doesn't matter.
Top five.
It's an easy fixture for City, as we saw.
Yes, but it's also top five worst fixture, and every other fixture in the next group is like top five easiest, so.
Yeah. The thing about it, though, too, is we play in a small sample size world, and like when I, like two, three games ago when the Benson thing happened and I lose like 11 points or whatever.
Yeah.
And then this thing, and it's like these improbable things that happen when you have a lot of like stake on it is just, the coin flips don't go my way or whatever. And then like when they compile, then it's just challenging to withstand.
Yes.
So we'll see how it goes for
the next
few games.
We're living in a small sample size world and I'm a small sample size girl. You know?
Yeah, me too.
Shout out Madonna. Let me update the leagues. Yeah. Shout out to the top three FML Field Prize League Mug League leaders for January so far. One game weekend. Alex Krohn, a.k.a. Havertz, will travel. 96-pointer. Jesus. Jack Gaynor, a.k.a. Gaynor FC. And Kjell Hamburg, a.k.a. Sesh
Head. Wait, Jack?
United.
Second?
Jack Gaynor.
Oh, my God.
95 points. Yes.
Wait, I didn't see this. Like, yes. How's he doing this year?
Flying. And Kjell, 93-pointer.
No, he's in first.
No, it doesn't update.
He took
fast,
a hit.
Dude.
It's fucked up.
It's always fine. I have to use a separate website to get the rankings because it never updates in time. But, yeah, and then Bad Homburg's in third. Fucking
dude, what is... Dude, Jack's doing really well this year. He's like 300K.
Let's go. Let's fucking go.
Oh, yeah. His team's solid. Okay. Fuck.
You don't just drop 95-pointers without a solid team. Yeah, I mean, how could you not upholding? And then shout out to the leader of the FML Field Public League. Actually, a tie. Luis May, a.k.a. Nom Nom Nom, and Peter Tin, a.k.a. 8-2 Coutinho. He's just been up there all season, so good job by them. All right. I feel like there's two very obvious places to start, and they're sort of side by side. There's Liverpool and their slump, and then there's City and their destruction.
No Palace?
What do you want to talk about Palace?
3 points. Up the Eagles.
Which one do you want to start with?
Well, let's do your team because we actually didn't watch the game together, didn't talk about it. So I'm interested to hear your position on this.
So we got two questions. Mr. T on Twitter said, has Salah just become worse than KDB? And then Yobil said, Mo has a total of 1.2 on XG, 0.08 XA over the last three. Any concern there? Is Mo to KDB an overreaction? I think people are talking about that because City don't blank this week and they have home Brighton. So that's definitely like relevant for the comparison. But
sure.
Yeah, I mean, just insane slump. There's nothing else to say, really. They look like shit. They're playing like shit. Mo especially is like the least involved that I can remember. Like, I feel like he didn't touch the ball today. He had like one shot, maybe one key pass. Like, it was all Mane. It was all fucking Mane today, who was just trying to beat two guys all the time, put the balls in, take the shots, etc.
Mane's head was far the fuck up his ass today.
I don't think so. I think he did a pretty good job. He's like one of the only players I thought that could say like he did stuff.
He did stuff, but when it came to the final ball or the final moment in the final in the box, he did not do any good stuff. He didn't do shit.
I mean,
I think he's a prime reason why they didn't score was because of his poor job in the box. And
well,
the
that's
20 touches he had in the box.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't agree.
It
I
was
think
funneling
he was,
through him, and
yeah,
he couldn't
and I think
do
he
anything.
Did a decent job of being the only guy to do. any attacking, basically. Like, Bob and Mo were just MIA.
Bob was a passenger. But
so was Mo, and I think that's worse to me than trying to beat guys and do stuff all day, you know? And
it's not the same thing, though, because they funnel it down the left. Like, even more so, Trent was also head up the ass subbed for fucking Milner. So they're funneling it to the left, overloading the left. So Mo's going to be only feeding on the movement or the crossing or the balls to him. So I think that was more by design than Mo individually. And he had the biggest chance of the game, that header.
But
that
part of the design, I think, is because Mo's been playing so bad. Like,
I don't think if
they could get Mo isolated like Mane was isolated, I think they would. You would take that, you know, if he's just isolated in the box with Bertrand like Mane was on the right, you know, I mean on the left, so...
I mean, Rabo was playing winger. It was the same kind of thing, though, where Trent was more reserved. I mean, Trent got a little bit more forward sometimes in the second half of the first half, but Rabo was playing winger, and they were just overloading that side again. Yeah. And I feel like they've been doing that similarly the last couple of weeks. And Mo, again, he had a big chance that he fucked, and he had a couple big chances. Newcastle that he fucked. I don't feel... To look at these two,
the
three
Newcastle
games...
The Newcastle was much different, though. Newcastle was 2 1v1s with the ball at his feet. The big chance today was a contested header.
Yeah, it doesn't... I mean, it's...
And then
West
Brom didn't have anything, you know?
Yeah, well, no one did that game. But either way, you know, it's like... We've seen multiple four. This is the fourth season of Mo. So to look at 2-3 games and be like, "Oh, is he bad?" It's like, that's just enough. Okay,
right.
He's blanking, and you want to maybe roll around. Fine, but you know he's going to come snap back into it.
Yeah,
the biggest thing to me today was that handball and Stevens that they didn't even really spend time on, because that looked like a nailed on handball.
Tell me,
I don't think any
too.
Of the other like shoulder to shoulders or whatever were pens, but that looked like a handball to me.
The tilting thing was how the announcers kept being like, "Oh, they only have one shot on target, one shot on target." I was like, "Well, Genie's shot was on target until he blocked it with his fucking hand." Like, give me a break. But yeah, I mean, they look fucking sluggish, leggy, tired, bad, dysfunctional. I mean, they're Hendo and Fab at center back and not in midfield.
Thiago
and Ox starting their first games. And
yeah, Ox was anonymous.
A year, 6 months. Like,
I mean, the blueprint
it was all bad.
Containing Liverpool seems to be very clear, where you congest the middle, you force them out wide, and you make them cross into small fucks when you have four players in the middle.
They cross
this
all
is the
day
last
day
few games. Like, every time
all
they don't score... Those are the games. And when they cross, they're not... I don't know why they do it. I don't understand why they continually cross, because they have all these small guys, you know? And they get, like, half chances periodically off them, but they never try and pull it inside or do some, like, 1-2 combinations. And when they do, then that's when they get closer. But,
yeah, they're, like, taking what's given instead of, like, forcing the issue.
Yeah.
So, I totally agree. So,
The other thing about the game today, though, was, like, they score the set piece goal in the second minute, and then they don't play. I mean, there was no game. It was just a bus. They just parked.
Yeah.
And
that dictated the game. Like, I don't think Southampton would have played that way without the goal. Yeah.
No, and that's fine. They do that thing, but it's still just, you know what's coming, and they still can't solve the puzzle, which is frustrating because, I mean, a lot of people have gotten 2 or 3 Liverpool assets when they have this really easy... in air quotes, easy run of fixtures, and they've fucking looked horrible, and now they have this blank. So, I mean, you know, it's a tough one, but I still think you just hold the players, because it's still a good team, and they're still gonna, you know, be first, second in the league this year.
Yeah, I don't remember which match it was. It was a few weeks ago or something like that. Someone on Anfield Rap was saying, if Hendo wasn't on the pitch, this would be the type of game where I'm like, we fucking need Hendo in midfield and need to sub him on at halftime, you know? And it just felt like the midfield was just so dysfunctional and bad and missing today. And sure, Hendo's probably better than Reece Williams and Nat Phillips, but like, I just felt like the midfield was just needed the old guys, like the old staples, to just get in
there.
Well,
this is the other thing, too, that was unusual about... Because you were talking about Hendo coming in at center back, and... Yeah. He didn't have to play after, like, the 20th minute, center back, the position, but they were fucking wide open all over the place for the first, like, 10-15.
Oh,
there was a lot of space between Fabinho and Hendo. It was
top.
A mess. There were a lot of runs that were wide open that, like, the ball wasn't played to them, but they eased into the game, and then again, I mean, they just stopped getting attacked, too, so it was easy, but... Klopp usually makes like one or two changes, and he all of a sudden he's like Fabinho first start, like Ox hasn't played in a year, and like Hendo in center back, and he's not. This isn't fucking West Brom. Like this is a good team. I was very surprised that because this is something we talked about. Like okay, this would have been a good team against Newcastle.
Yeah, exactly.
And I appreciate that Thiago could not start because it was too soon for him. But to play this team again, I mean, you know, like, or Burnley coming up, or West Ham, or Brighton, it's like play this new kind of thing against these bad teams. He plays against like a good team. It's nuts. Exactly. Yeah, Curtis. I mean, Curtis needs a rest. Like, fine, but you know, you don't do all of this upheaval and then they don't function. It was nuts. Horrible. Yeah, it was really nuts today.
But yeah, so going back to the questions, I think has Mo become worse than Kev? Like that shit is sort of funny, whatever. But like, I think the real question should be like, A, has Man City's performance against Chelsea changed our perspective on Man City's attacking assets going forward, in particular, Kev? And B, has Liverpool's back-to-back-to-back bad attacking performances, specifically Mo, changed our perspective on Liverpool's attacking assets going forward? Which it seems me and you are both kind of happy to hold. They have a full week off now. And then, so let's just transition to City. I mean, what do you think?
No. Absolutely 0%, nothing even remotely close. Like, it was like, okay, a couple of the things went in. They could have had four or five, but they could have had four or five when they were scoring one. You know, I mean, they've been missing a lot of good opportunities, and Frank bent over and spread the cheeks, and then Pepinho just went straight in all the way up through the body, out the mouth, just the entire evisceration of soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just what happened. It was just not a competitive game.
The entire evisceration of the soul. Oh my God.
It was laughable and embarrassing. Yeah. If you're a Chelsea supporter, you know, you're watching that game with the dark blue, and that's what it was.
If he didn't know who was on Man City. Like, he didn't watch Man City for the past three seasons. And he's like, oh, we can be open and press these guys high. Like, they'll never beat the press. They'll never get through our press and counter. It's like, well, what's going on? Yeah, I mean, I think it was much more that than City changing their style and doing
City,
anything. And like,
City, the lineup was, we're going to win 1-0.
Yes.
That's what the team was.
Absolutely.
They played.
Yeah, Kevin Stryker means we're going to win 1-0. That doesn't mean we're going to score five. Yeah.
Yeah, and Frank had other ideas. Mr. Franklin wanted to just do the thing, so they lost 3-1 or whatever. But it's still three. I mean, that I need to see this. No, I mean, I don't even know. There's nothing different. Well, it's the exact same thing that has been happening.
No other teams, bar Leeds, because they're fucking Leeds, would ever let City have this much space on the counter. So until we see a good attacking performance in the normal match where a team's playing 10 behind the ball and City are then creating a million chances and scoring 4 or 5, then,
which won't happen.
Which probably won't happen
because they're not
playing this style.
They don't have the players.
Yeah. So I'm basically with you. I mean, the fixtures are great. Jesse was asking about Raz. Ralph and Jax were asking about Kev and stuff. And it's just, I basically feel the same way. That said, they do have the extra fixture, and, you know, doing like someone like Mo to Kev, who has an extra match, I don't think that's unreasonable.
Yeah, or Raz, even if you're looking at for just a couple weeks, like you're getting three games instead of one. That's two game weeks.
Two of Mo's are home United and away Spurs. We know those are going to be fucking
tough. Liverpool have a
double. Yeah. They do have a double, but they have home United, away Spurs, two out of the next three. Whereas you could go Kev or Raz, you have Brighton, Palace, Villa all at home, and then away West Brom. And then home Chef U.
Yeah, so those are, so that's the thing to
do. I kind of like that.
Yeah, but it still comes back to the, you know, you need to look at your team's specific context.
Yes.
And Mo can obviously get a pen here, the thing of the day, and then all of a sudden you're just fucked and you're spinning your wheels, because we know what Mo is, and he's a good player. And, you know, you look at the value of tied up and all that, but I still just, it's hard for me to look past the defensive assets for City, because they're just cheaper and they start with the return. And City aren't, again, they're not free flowing. It's like we have a, like bias over the last few years where they score 4 and 5 all the time, and that's not what they do this year. Yeah. So I still just think if you're going to be looking for these players to put in your team, that you want the defenders. And Son, Mo, you know, there are other midfielders or strikers that you could fill your team with, and
Rash.
The defense looks better. Yeah, the defense looks good. So
yeah, I agree.
I just think that selling Mo, it's just, this happens every year. There's, you know, he has a few blanks, and then people get rid, and then they're like, oh my god, I'm never selling Mo again. LOL, I'm gonna remember next year. And yeah, then it's just rinse repeat. You know, it's the same shit.
You have to have the mentality. Like, if you're gonna, because he'll score 17 one of these weeks, and we have no idea when it's gonna come. It could be literally any match. So if that's gonna break you and you're gonna be upset and whatever, then don't get rid of him, because it's gonna happen. But if you can handle trusting yourself and trusting your gut and trusting the fixtures and the data and everything, and then go for it, you know? Like, I think it's an upside play, and I like it. So
I don't like it.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Yeah.
I understand it, but I don't like it. Yeah. I would never advise someone to do it.
Right. Yeah. Totally reasonable. Another talking point is Arsenal. I mean, we have our Arsenal back, which I tweet every year at some point, but Chuck Norris said, I know you guys don't like to discuss chip strategy. Can you touch on Arsenal player for the free hit? A lot of people free hitting this week. Is Lacazette crazy for a 1 week punt? So there's a lot of interesting guys all of a sudden in Arsenal, and none of them are Aubameyang. But what are you thinking between Laka, Saka, Smith Rowe, Martinelli, defenders? Like, they have options.
Yeah, they definitely are, you know, playing the kids or making a difference. But
yeah.
Saka's a nice pick because you know about the minutes and he's cheap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smith Rowe, I'm less keen on. I mean the price is good at 4-4, but he's the, you know, as the creator, you never know when those points are going to come, and you know, he could score one goal in 1,000 minutes. That wouldn't be surprising. He's just like the facilitator.
He's a
fifth mid if you need a fifth mid. But
yeah.
Martinelli not playing was honestly very surprising to me, because I thought his minutes were being managed by being subbed off. I didn't think he would be benched, but I guess, you know, they saw the West Brom game as one that they didn't need him for. But, you know, you mentioned also, right, about Obbs and him playing kind of similar on the left, or if Laka's playing, how's that going to fit? And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's all a thing to consider. I mean, putting Laka, Smith Rowe, Martinelli, Obbs, and Saka in the same team together could work, but not without Partey. You know, they need him in there to do the two-man job of one human.
Right.
So maybe it's just Saka's the easy one, because you know he's they're all cheap other than Laka, so in midfield, so he's, you know, the minutes are coming. So I mean, that's who you picked. Is
that's
that kind
a,
of
what
that's
you saw? Why I like him. Yeah, I mean, that you just summed up why I like him. I mean, I was citing the stats since game week 10 on last episode when he started playing regularly as a forward. He's played 90 almost every game since then, started every game, and his stats are really good, and his eye test is always really good, and he's really involved, and you know, that's what I want.
And,
so,
yeah, and he also checked. I mean, precog, we thought he was going to be at 6. I thought he was going to come at 6 this year.
Yeah, didn't you start the season with him? Or
No, because he was hurt, but, or whatever. He
yeah,
was
there
like,
was something.
Something
we,
was weird.
We, like, talked about it. I remember thinking about starting the season with him.
Because
he was
one of those, like, if he's, like, in the Foden, like, if he's going to be, Greenwood, like, he's over, he's too good, and he's going to be underpriced. And
right.
He was even lower than we thought he was going to be when we were talking about it.
And I think he ended the season strong, and that was in our thoughts, and they won the cup and all that shit. So, yeah, I love the soccer pick. Laka's reasonable.
Yeah, he's been playing really well this year.
He's been playing really well. The team also functioning for the first time all season helps.
Good fixtures.
I mean, he's honestly very reasonable.
Yeah,
and
8-2.
Good fixtures, doesn't blank. Reasonable.
Yeah, reasonable.
Yeah, like it.
Martinelli, though, I mean, you know, I'm obviously obsessed with him, but I still feel like he's the brace. Like, he's the guy who's going to... He's going to blow up. He's going to have a couple games where he blows up, and it's going to be like, oh,
shit. The thing with him is that Aubameyang is clearly the worst of this group, which is really weird to say.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's droppable, you know, IRL. Like, I don't know if he's still like a leader in some ways. And
I still feel like Martinelli could move around, though. He's not like condemned to playing over there.
For sure, but I don't... It doesn't seem reasonable at this point to drop Smith Rowe from his position and Saka from his position or Laka from his position, and you're just left with one.
That's where I think that four can coexist, because Obbs and Laka and Martinelli, like, they can move around all the time about, you know, if, because Laka's been really good in the hole. I mean, he's been really good when he's dropped behind the striker. So you could put Obbs or Martinelli can switch position, striker, left wing, if you have him. It's just the two behind, like, I mean, like Xhaka and Ceballos, it's just, that doesn't work. They need Partey back to try that, I think. So,
Smith Rowe also.
Oh, wait, that leaves Smith Rowe out? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
5, yeah. So maybe that doesn't work. Okay. I don't know.
It's hard. It's a tough one. But yeah, it's a tough one. They're looking great.
Saka does. Look, props just the minutes.
Fucking Mikel. Jesus. Yeah. I mean, it took a long time, but they finally have a team.
I mean, I have no props to him at all.
Well,
I would give him props if he did this in game week 7.
Okay, but he eventually got there. You know,
dude, they've won fuck 3 straight. Off eventually. I mean, even Franklin would have found this eventually. He's just fucking 3-4 months. They were in 16th place.
Franklin's
he shouldn't
still
get
starting,
any props.
Starting Werner and shit.
How do you give Arteta props for this? That's ridiculous.
He eventually found it, and they're playing well. That's all I care about if I'm an Arsenal fan, is like the future. Yeah. They're not going to fucking win the league or be a Champions League team this year. So if he eventually finds his way and is the future manager to lead them, then that's good.
All right.
That's all you want from him. other than that, we didn't really get questions this week. We got one, but is there anything else you want to go into? I mean, there was a ton of action, but the football's still kind of bad and like lethargic for the most part.
Yeah, the games weren't great this weekend, I think, full stop.
And a lot of things went as planned.
Are still very... They keep elevating or escalating into like a new level of concern watching them play, because...
That is the one question we have, was Hemdog asking about DCL again, because he's just reminding of like basically what they were like post-restart, which is pretty similar to what their team is right now without a bunch of the stars, and just asking about if it's time to sell or not. It's testing, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't put forth like a dominating performance where they scored a few goals and since like October.
Yeah.
And it's getting tiring to talk about, you know, the injuries that they've only been missing like one or two players.
I've been saying this all season. They have 5 good players. So if they're missing 3, it's a huge deal.
Yeah. And I mean, the squad is just so limited or whatever.
So rough.
I mean, DCL, He always is. That's the thing with him, right? He's always looks good, even when they're bad. Like, he was holding up. He was getting involved. This is the kind of game, like, if it was just a normal number 9 in that game, he would have had 3 touches and done just not like McBurney or something.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And he was like dropping deep.
His only touches
he was trying to get involved.
Kickoff, like that kind of game.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's still like is active and like running around and offering and stuff. So, you know, he's still doing that stuff, but at the same time, you know, when the team doesn't function to this extent for this long, getting the assist on the side pass or getting fouled for a pen is only going to take you so far. And 5 games without a goal is a really long time in this league. I mean, that's a really long time.
Yeah.
And they have a few tough fixtures coming up. So I don't really have too much problem if you're again, you know, casting your eye on him. I'm going to hold him still, because I still just...
Why?
I don't see other picks in and around his price bracket that I'm going to be feeling like, oh, I'm going to really be gaining points here, because I think the margin is that slim and I don't have any money in the bank. Maybe Ings
like
would
Wilf?
Be the one player.
Wilf,
yeah,
Ings.
I mean, I can't get Wilf because I'm already 5 mid. So it Laka? Would really be, again, I mean, I can't find like a million to go up. So I'm looking at him or below. So my specific team is different. So that's probably more of the reason I have Bamford. So there's nowhere I can downgrade where I feel like I'm going to do better than him. And I don't have anywhere where I want to downgrade elsewhere to upgrade him. So
what was it? 5 weeks ago, it felt like there were some actual good cheap forward options. But when you sort by price below DCL, it's very limiting.
Yeah, it's limiting.
There's really not much.
And,
besides
I mean,
Bamford.
I still have value in him. So, I mean, my sell's at 7-4. So
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, it's basically just kind of hoping that you know, Carlo, where they kind of figure it out in the next couple, and yeah. you know, he gets back on his way, because I still think he's an incredible player, and I'm just content still to just stick with him for a little bit more. It's gonna yeah. you know, it'll just take more for me to go elsewhere, because I still feel like he's a good pick.
Yeah, I feel like you have to hope that the guys come, well, now that the pileup's over, so James yeah. can actually play one game a week, like the guys coming back soon should just elevate them back to being a way better team, which I think yeah. it will. It's just yeah. a matter of when it actually happens. Like,
yeah.
we've been waiting for fucking Ricardo Pereira, supposed to come back in October, and still isn't back, so you never know yeah. with these guys, like, what the deal is, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a double, so that's another thing, right? People are getting right. They want doublers, so...
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny that he price dropped with... Like, he's playing in the blank. He should probably price drop after yeah. the blank, right? Like, yeah. But, you know, whatever. Anywhere else you want to go?
Well, I mean, I think we had another good data point on the Spurs-Leeds game, right? I mean, obviously in our, like, Discord or our group, you know, the Spurs captain was like 80% or something.
The most
but
nailed on, yeah.
In the wider scheme of things, I think Bruno was the highest capped.
Yeah, Bruno, Kane, Son were all like basically the same.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, you know, Bruno, obviously it's Bruno, so he gets points, but in open play, on balance, that's a blank from him. He was nowhere near points. And it's just, and I was seeing people are like, oh, like I'm happy with I kept Mo or I kept Bruno, like good, I'm happy with my call. Like I think, and it's like Leeds against the top 4-6 team. If there's a good team, good attacker, it's just, that's the captain pick. I don't know why that's still a discussion. It shouldn't be a discussion anymore.
Yeah. I mean, every week when you're thinking about captain, I think it should honestly start with who's playing Leeds. And then
yeah, definitely agree. And if the team is a mid-table, bottom half, then it's like, all right, no one's trustworthy. So where else do I look?
Exactly. But and, that's how I start every week. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what we've been doing for a while. And it's, I get it. It's like, okay, they score a pen. They got a fucking corner goal. They only had one open play goal, but they could have scored 5 or 6. You know, they had plenty yeah. of chances. The game was stretched. It was open.
Yeah.
I know the XG is not skyrocketed over there, but they had a lot of opportunities that the shot didn't get taken. And if you watch that game, you're looking at it like, this is where I want my exactly. guys to be
that's
playing.
That's what I was going to say regarding the XG. I mean, it's not... There's no perfect stat. Like, football is very hard to come up with numbers with, you know? And XG has its limits, and I always think back to when I began learning about XG and what it is and how it works was that Germany-Mexico game in the World Cup, where Mexico just sliced them to fucking shreds over and over and over and over again. Yeah.
Lozano.
Breakout legend. Chucky game. And that actually was really low. It was like 1.1 or something. But that was the type of game where I was like, well, if you watched it, they could have scored like 5. They just kind of fucked up 1v1 multiple times, didn't get a shot off. And yeah, I mean, Spurs were just all over them. Like, they're just absolute joke. So, yeah. Also, Leeds have conceded the most pens in the league. So that's not really that unlikely also. You know, it's like that's who they are. They're one-on-one defending everyone on the pitch. If you get beat, you might concede a pen. So all right, let's go to our teams. Kind of a quick run through. I mean, so what are you looking at? There's a bunch of cup games and shit. It's probably advisable to wait until late as possible for moves and everything with COVID and injuries and everything. So,
yeah, I mean, I have a lot of guys playing this week, so I'm in good shape. Balbuena's a big problem now. He's, I guess, second choice, or Dawson just is too big to fail.
I mean, if you're
two cleans and two,
if you
can't
drop kick
him.
Someone, the enemy striker, in the head and get away with it and just knock him out of the game, then that you're a valuable asset to any team.
The enemy,
the enemy striker. So,
I mean, holding him doesn't make any sense. Right. So that's probably what I'm thinking about with my transfer. Right.
How many guys do you have playing this week, not including him?
I have 9 plus Keenan Davis. So 9.125.
Yeah, I like that. He kind of looks good whenever he subs on.
Love him. Fantastic player.
Yeah.
So I'd probably just do like a Balbuena to some other fucking piece of shit.
Who plays?
I mean, maybe someone gets hurt and I take a hit and do a double switch if one of my guys gets injured that I'm relying on. But
right.
I was looking at Yedlin. They get to play Sheffield United and he's been looking like reasonable. I could also get Lowton, who's a better like long-term pick, but they play United, so that's probably not going to be points for me this week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. I mean, I only have 4-4 to spend, so it's not like I have a ton of options there. I mean, Mari looks like... I mean, Gabriel could come back.
Holding.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really near it, honestly. Yeah, I was really nowhere near it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really it. I mean, either I'm looking at doing Yedlin or Lowton for Balbuena, or saving and just looking at my two frees next week with the double if I want to do something else with them. I don't know.
Right.
I have to look closer. I honestly don't even really know how many players I have doubling. I haven't looked at it that hard.
We have a really long break that we're unaccustomed to. We have a Patreon pod on Sunday night, so there's a lot of time to think about shit. I also similarly need more time to think about it. I mean, I also have 9 guys, so... You know, 2-3 weeks ago, I was thinking I'm definitely in a free hit. Then they added the fixtures. I'm pretty comfortable with 9 guys, so I'm probably going to chill. I mean, I'll think about going like Robbo to Cancelo or Mo to Kev or something like that. I don't think that's crazy. Otherwise, probably chilling. Team's good. Good call by you on Mitchell holding his place, getting the clean. So,
Mitchell, good.
I have them this week, so that's fine.
Good job by Mitchell.
And what about Cap this week? I mean, Bruno is... going to be capped by, I imagine, upwards of 90% of people with the friendly picture, but it's kind of tough.
Yeah, I have it on him right now, but I didn't. I'm going to think about it more because this might be a week where I'm not going to stick with him.
I posted on our Twitter and in our Discord in the stats channel just a brief look at Bruno with Paul starting and without Paul starting. Because we've been talking about that, but I hadn't actually looked at the numbers, so I wanted to just check the hypothesis. And his numbers are way worse. It's not even remotely close when Paul starts.
When Paul plays? Yeah.
In open play.
For a while.
Okay. So that's good worth considering because Paul is playing his fucking ass off right now and is pretty much nailing himself. Looks great. So it makes Bruno a little bit worse.
I kind of want Paul.
He's always an option.
He was so fucking good last game.
So
holy
good.
Shit.
I love watching him so much.
It
just makes you wish that he could be on a team where he could do that every week. Because watching him when he's good is the best. It's the fucking best.
But then they play Liverpool. Well, it's a double. They have Liverpool.
They have a double, though.
You can't go for Paulo with the fixtures they're sweating. Yeah. There's just something about it with... I want to see what the... bookies are, because this is the fish. For some reason with Burnley, they know when Burnley are going to get fucking spanked.
Yeah.
They did the thing with City game, right?
Yeah, all of a
if
sudden
the bookies
three
are like
goal
way
favorites
out,
or something.
Yeah. Then I'm like, okay, all right.
The thing is, what other caps do you even like? I mean, you could do a
I might
City
go
defender.
Rash. I might you go Rash.
Could do Rash. I don't really like capping Spurs or Villa in that game.
Cancelo is an option.
Yeah, honestly, I said City Defenders is an actual option. Laka.
Every game, Cancelo's got an assist in him that he just
Laka
doesn't do.
Is a rogue cap that I don't hate. Palace don't keep cleans this season. I know you
would.
Excuse
wouldn't.
Me. Okay.
You just kept a clean. Okay. Fucking asshole. Okay. Talking about Mitchell. Good call by you, Mitchell.
One
owner.
Out of every
we
8
don't keep cleans.
Fixtures, they might keep a clean. You know.
2 out of every 9. This next one as well.
Yeah. If they I will back them all the way. If they play Sheffield United every week to clean 38 out of 38 times, but they don't, unfortunately. But yeah,
Wolves Everton.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
I don't know.
What the hell are Wolves?
Wolves suck. They are a fucking bad team with fucked up players playing in every week. Like 8 changes. And
yeah,
it's
I left and missed most of that game, and I texted you like 3-3. Like, what the hell is happening?
Like that's it. Like,
they
mean,
had
DCL,
one big chance, and it was Odosawi, and he didn't even score.
It was the last header, last action of the game,
and they had an own goal and a pen. It was like, what the fuck? Sloppy nightmare is this? Sloppy toppy, but yeah,
like,
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that they're going to be goals in that game. Neither of those teams, I think. I don't know. I think it's.
It's kind Bruno's of a gonna fun. Be it's kind of a fun house, rogue week.
Bruno's going to be the house bet. Like he's going to be very huge captain percent.
I think people will still cap Kane and Son also because when you look at Villa, your brain is trained to be like they're a bottom three team.
It's Villa, yeah.
But they're good this year, so it's I don't know if I like it.
That's a mistake.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a good fixture. I could see a world where Son hauls. I mean, Cash is kind of left on an island, but he usually does well. But maybe Son just gets behind him two times and scores two goals or something like that. Yeah. But I don't like Kevin Kane in that game. And
it's, it feels very reliant.
It's hard, man. It's really hard.
Yeah, this is a hard week.
It's a really hard week. And, yeah. Which makes me want to go rogue. Tough. It makes me want to go rogue when it's a hard week.
But it's at the same time, it's a hard week, but everyone's going to be on Bruno.
Yes.
But I think we just don't view it like he's the best pick by a mile. Like it's going to reflect in the...
Yeah, I don't agree with how the percentages are going to go, which makes me want to go against it. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? With Paul, Bruno's numbers goes down. With Paul, I expect more from Rash and Tony because there's just... It's like it makes the team better, but it makes Bruno worse individually for fantasy. Like
I'm just concerned Rash is still going to get lots of shots and chances. Yeah, I'm just concerned more about Rash because if they're going to be doing like the two tight banks of four, like that they're not going to be countered on, which they will, which makes Rash a lot worse.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I know Man United like draw the opponent out by their nightmare chaos, whatever they do. But that is a concern for me if I want to go there.
I just flash back to Rash scoring against them last season because Burnley equalized or something in like the 91st minute. And then Rash actually had space to counter and they scored in like stoppage time. I don't know. Yeah, tough cap week. We need more time and cups and COVID to think about it, I think.
I do like Rashford, though. I do like Rashford as an option. I might give that a pop. I don't know.
I kind of like Laka.
But you don't have Waka, so what the fuck are you talking about?
To the listeners, you know?
So are you going to stick on Bruno, though? Because you have... I mean, is that your guy?
I don't know.
All right. Because you're really... Diash isn't an option.
Yeah, I wouldn't cap Diash. I'm low on options. I could transfer in an option. I could transfer in Raz or Kev or something, go there.
Saka would be a huge punt.
Dude, Brighton...
Yeah, like, Brighton are all sorts. They're not a good team.
No chance that they clean any game, it seems like. There's so many moments. Dan Byrne had a fucking match to remember.
Dude, you didn't even watch the game.
I watched the highlights.
Dan Byrne was the Dan Byrne show. It was insane.
Ripping down their Dan Byrne posters from their bedroom wall, lighting them on fire. Burn, baby, burn. Rough.
No, Dan Byrne was single-handedly giving goals away left and right.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
This is the quickest part of the season right here. Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
Enjoy your week off. We're not going to watch the cup games. Else. Yeah. Well, let me slap asses first. We got two new signups: Jacob Garvey, Max Lee. There, slap your ass. Let's go. Any last words? This is your chance. If there's something else you want to talk about.
Yeah, let's just chat, man. What's going on?
What is going on?
I don't know. Giants didn't make the playoffs.
That's the other football. Hurts you.
That's a ripper, you know.
Yeah. I bet on them, too. I was with you.
Yeah, you did. I know.
Eagles fucking throw, Doug Peterson. Throw the game. Actual
Absolute
throw.
Throw job. He's Dan Byrne.
Dan Byrne lives on forever. Yeah, he had a Dan Byrne compilation would be much appreciated from that match. If someone made or found that, I would love to watch that.
All right, let's get out of here.
Check us out at fmlfdl.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlfdlsportspatreon.com/fmlfdl. Subscribe, review,
Podcast Network.